And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. We see it in Matthew, where it talks about Jesus being born of the Virgin. The next week, we talked about the angels and the role that they played in around the time of the Messiah. The angelic activity during that time exploded. It just exploded. Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, became so active in talking to people and coming and making, bringing messages from God, and even came to Mary and proposed to her the plan of God. And so we see the angel activity that was in the Scripture. Well, today we're going to talk about something a little bit different. And I want to just say right up front, it's controversial, and it'll be all right by the time I'm done. We don't mind being controversial. I've always been controversial. It's got me in trouble a few times. And today I'm going to be a little controversial. But if you'll bear with me, I think you see where we're going with this. But we're going to begin today in Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to talk about the stars. The stars. Now, if you were here Wednesday night, we did a thing on the Star of Bethlehem. And we'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. So, the Scripture tells us in Genesis chapter 1. Hold on. I got something going on here. Okay. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Then God said, "Let there be lights." This is talking about creation. "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the light from the day, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Now notice he said four things here, and one of them doesn't seem to relate to the other. Notice he says that it would be for seasons, for days, and years. And it's amazing how much that the sun, moon, and stars have to do with how they affect the earth. The rotation of the earth, the influence on the earth. Also, our days, how that our earth revolves and how the sun affects our day and night. Also, our seasons. We're going to come into a new season this week. Is it 21st or 22nd? Winter. We're going to come into the winter season, and that has to do with the relationship of the earth to the sun. And also, not only days and year, but also our years that we travel around the sun in a particular path, and it takes us a year to get around the sun. So all of that is affected by that. But it says that it's also for signs. Now, that's interesting that it said that it was for signs. Joe, my thing has gone dead here. Has anybody got a Bible I can borrow for just a second? I wanted to read a scripture. Ah, here we go. He's not in the right spot, but give me a sec. Y'all who are watching online, it'll be all right. You know, we don't hardly mention that we always have people who watch us on live stream here. Psalms 19. Psalms 19. This goes along with that. And it says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God, and the skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak." Now, what does the skies? Whatever is in the skies. Now, what's in the skies? The planets, the moon, the sun, and the stars. I didn't realize this. I thought maybe there were several thousand stars. Science tells us that there's probably over 100 billion galaxies, and each of those galaxies probably have 100 billion stars in them. How big is our God? We were singing a while ago. How big is our God? If He's bigger than His creation, if He inhabits His creation, and oh my gosh, our God is big. Our God is big. But this says that day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. So this says that the creation of God speaks day and night. Says that it continues to speak, but it never utters a word and never makes a sound. If it speaks, how does it do that without making a sound? Now that's interesting. I find that fascinating. We as Christians have been a little bit afraid of the stars because of astrology. And I'm going to make it a distinction here in a little bit. But I don't think that we need to be afraid of God's creation, do you? I just think that there are things there, and it says that the heavens, the creation, reveals the glory of God. Now, if God is our creator, and if he is creator of the universe, everything in his universe should be revealing what is true. Now, there's a whole lot of things that's gone on called astrology. We're going to make a distinction between astrology and astronomy. They use a lot of the same terminology because at one time they were probably together. And then they kind of separated because astrology started almost worshiping the stars. And astronomy discovers and studies the stars. And there's a huge difference. But they use a lot of the same terminology. But if the earth declares the glory of God, it should show his truths. Now we're going to go to the book of Job, and we're going to ask the question, where do the signs come from? Where do the signs come from? And I want to say this, that in the heavens as we know them, there are 88 constellations. Now what's a constellation? It is a grouping of stars. If you have any kind of astronomy, not astrology, astronomy programs, and there are, you can buy astronomy programs, and one of them will illustrate. I've got one called Starry Night that astronomers use, and you can turn it on, and you can just, it shows you all of the constellations. There are 88 known constellations. And they're people, they're animals, there's all kinds of things that over the years that people have discovered. Where did those things come from? Who made those things? And if it's true, the Bible says that they declare the glory of God. What are they doing up there? I believe they are telling the story of the glory of God. I'm a poet now. That which reveals the glory has to tell the story. Now, there's a lot of things that have been done, and they're talking about, you know, the polytheists. They use the heavens to talk about their different gods. But I believe that if the Lord our God is one God, that what he has put up there all points to him and his story, not what we call polytheism, which is many gods. But we're monotheists. We believe in one God, and a lot of the world believes in polytheism, which is many gods, okay? And we have seen a whole bunch of stuff develop. You ever heard of Hercules? Do you know Hercules is a constellation? And there's a whole story that developed around Hercules that came out of, you know, Greek mythology. Well, where does all of these signs and constellations come from? And where did they get their name? We're going to go to perhaps the oldest book of the Bible, the book of Job. And many think that this took place 2,150 years B.C. 2,150 B.C. is about the setting of this. I'm not sure that's when it was written, Maybe it was written then, but this story goes way back. Job probably knew Adam. You know, they lived a long time then. They lived over, some of them lived over 900 years. And Job probably knew Adam. But this happened about 2150 B.C., which is a long, long time ago. That's probably when the book was written. It probably took place before then if he knew Adam. But there's some language in here that we need to look at when we ask ourselves, where did the signs come from? Now, if this was written 2150 B.C., that's 650 years before Moses ever came on the scene. It was 1100 years before Homer wrote the Iliad and the Odyssey. Have you ever read the Iliad and the Odyssey? A lot of times in high school, this is where all the Greek mythology comes from. Zeus and all of those things that, you know, that we hear about comes out of Greek mythology. But even before then, even before those things were written, the book of Job records some things. And we're going to look at Job chapter 38 and begin with verse 31. God talking to Job, he says this, "Can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades?" What is the Pleiades? It's a cluster of stars. You can look in astrology. You can look in astronomy and you can see the Pleiades. In fact, I think that you can see the Pleiades with the naked eye. But he says, "Can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades or loose the belt of Orion?" I was outside looking at the sky last night and I saw Orion's belt. What is Orion? It is one of the constellations. And then he goes on to say, "Can you bring out Mazzarah in its season?" And that word means zodiac. Now, when we think zodiac, we think astrology. But zodiac comes from a Greek word which means the path. And what it's talking about is the path of the rotation of the sun and the earth. How we travel around the sun through the constellations, and it's the path that it takes around that. And there are certain constellations that it goes through. Some of those are like Leo. There is Aries. All of the things that we normally, when we think about it, we attribute to astrology. But before astrology, God already called these things Orion, the Pleiades. And then he goes on and he talks about, there's another one in here. It says, "Or can you guide the great bear with its cubs?" What is the great bear? Does anybody know what the great bear is? Ursa Major, the constellation. And then there's Ursa Minor, which is the little bear. So what is he referring to? He is referring to the constellations in the sky. Who made the constellations? God did. Who named them? Probably God did. Now, why do they exist? So that we can develop a mythology around many gods? No, no, no. If creation declares the glory of God, they're probably going to tell a story in the sky. That's what we're going to look at today. Now, I want to make the distinction, because there is a warning in Scripture about astrology. And I'm not talking about, when I'm using terms like zodiac, even though astrology uses zodiac, so does astronomy. When astrology uses the constellations, but so does astronomy. Scientists use astronomy. But there is a distinction, and the Bible tells us what it is. It's found in Isaiah chapter 47, beginning with verse 11. And God is pronouncing a judgment to these people. He says, "Therefore, evil shall come upon you, and you shall not know where it arises. And trouble shall fall upon you, and you will not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you shall not know. Stand now with your enchantments." It's just like God turns around and says, "Okay, see what you can do about this." It's like he's mocking them. He says, "Stand now with your enchantments and the multitudes of your sorceries. in which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you will prevail. He said, maybe you can beat me. Maybe you can outdo this with all of your sorceries and all of your in all of your enchantments. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from these things that shall come upon you. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. See, God condemns this thing called astrology. Now, what is the difference in astrology and astronomy? Astrology says that we are influenced by the stars and they predict our future. And some even worship the stars. Astronomy is only the study of the stars. Now there's a good illustration of this. And Wednesday night we looked at this thing called Star Bethlehem. And I encourage you, if you have never seen that, you ought to see it. But this lawyer goes back and he takes a computer program called Starry Night. In fact, I have the software. It's a really neat astronomy program. Has all the constellations, and it has programmed the Kepler's laws of physics in it, where everything is timed. You know why we can predict certain things like sunrise and sunset, and you know the seasons and the times, is because God's creation is accurate, and they figured out the math of that. And they program that into this software, and you can actually go into the future and you can see where particular planets and stars and things will be in the future. You can also go into the past and you can see where they were in particular places in the past. And he did a thing called the Star of Bethlehem. And he went back and began to discover, based on the death of Herod the king, about the time of Christ, about when his birth was, and he looked for certain things in the skies that might indicate something unusual where a star would appear. And there's a couple things that he found that happened within about a 9 to 2 year period there. One of them was the alignment of Jupiter, which is the king planet, and Venus, which is considered the mother planet. They came together in close proximity and had a union. And that could have been the time of the conception of Christ. Because it's the king planet, God, the mother planet, Mary, coming together. Interesting, isn't it? And then later, when the Magi... They studied the stars. Now, I don't believe they were astronomers because they didn't worship the stars. They studied the stars. They were studying and they had seen this activity going on. And they started following the star. Well, about the time of when Christ, after he was born. Now, you do know that the wise men did not show up at the birthplace. Okay? You know, we see the nativity scenes, we see the shepherds, and then we see the wise. They were not there the night that he was born. Okay? They went to his house. If you look at Scripture, it talks about that they went to his house. And the Greek word that it uses, he was not a newborn baby. He was a toddler. Okay? He was somewhere around 2 years of age. But this other thing happened in the stars that they followed. See, I don't know, as a young guy raised in church, you know, we heard the story of the star. And I guess I just thought, okay, God says, let there be a star. And this star, just high enough that they could see it. And it come down to this deal and it just went right down to where Jesus was at. Pointed to him in the manger. I mean, I guess I just thought that what it was. I just thought, okay, it's something supernatural. And God could do that. But if God is the orchestrator of the universe, would it be possible, as perfectionist as he is, and is everything is calculated, I mean, The universe is perfect in its calculations, the way that it operates. Couldn't in the span of time when he was creating and setting things up, could he have not aligned the heavens and the times together? There would be signs in the sky that would proclaim that this was the Messiah. And what happened, what this guy says that those guys saw, was Jupiter, which is the king planet, and Regulus, which is the king star, they aligned. King, king, king of kings. They aligned, and that's the star that they followed that led them to Bethlehem. Well, see, and I was going to make this point about the difference in astrology and astronomy. Astrologers study or worship the stars. These guys, what we call wise men, they were probably the scientists of that time. They were magi. Some said, well, they were astrologers. Well, I don't think so, because they were not worshiping the stars. They were watching the stars. And when they came to the thing that the star was pointing to, they worshiped it, not the star. Stars cannot predict your life. Okay? The stars can tell a story. And we believe that the stars tell the story of Jesus. Okay. Romans chapter 1. Verse 18. Where are the attributes of God revealed? The New Testament. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So what's He saying? Everything in creation tells the story of God. Everything about creation points us back to God. If you study the human body and the I believe it'll point us to God. If you study God's creation, the heavens, I believe it points us to God. So that's what we're going to look at today. I'm going to show you one sign today. There are several. Let me recommend a couple of books for those of you who like to read. How many of you ever heard of D. James Kennedy? He was a great preacher. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. He used to be TV. He used to wear a robe and talk real proper. He was a scholarly guy. But he wrote a book called The Real Meaning of the Zodiac, D. James Kennedy. And then there's an older book it's called The Gospel and the Stars by Joseph Seiss, S-E-I-S-S. And the second one is a little bit harder read. The first one is a real interesting, real easy read. And I recommend you, if you're interested in following that up, that you read those books, because he covers so much stuff in those books that has to do with astronomy and these signs and how they all point to Christ. How many signs of the zodiac are there? Now I'm talking astronomy now. There are 12. How many constellations do we have that we know about? There are 88. The zodiac is the path that the sun travels through around our earth, or the path that we go around the sun and through these constellations. Okay? So that is considered the path of the sun, the zodiac. So when we say zodiac, don't think astrology, think astronomy. These are the things that we're going to talk about. Bible scholars think that Jesus was probably born sometime in September. The sign in September is Virgo. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is Virgo. And we're going to look at some of the constellations that have to do with Virgo. The word Virgo, does anybody know what Virgo means? Means what? The virgin. The virgin. Virgo is the virgin. Okay? Now, I want to go back to the Old Testament. These are scriptures that we've already looked at. Genesis 3:15. And God says to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. I want you to remember seed there, okay? He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Now, there's actually in one of the constellations of the heaven, there's at least one and maybe two of this being depicted. Orion the warrior has a club in one hand. He has a shield with a lion's head on it. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah on one. And there is a bull coming at him, Taurus the bull. And he is getting ready to hit the bull. Under his foot, according to one of the ancient zodiac signs, there is a serpent. Interesting. Just interesting. Okay? Interesting. I believe it tells the story. Isaiah 7:14 says this, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So here we see talking about the seed of the woman and about a virgin bringing forth a child. And this child shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God and man in one body. Okay? Now, let me talk a little bit about Virgo. Virgo was considered to be the mother of fertility. Now, she's a virgin, but she is the mother of fertility. Interesting. How could that be? She holds in her right hand a branch, and in her left hand, seeds of wheat. Seeds of wheat. Now, let's look at this for just a moment. I want to go to the book of Zechariah, chapter 6, verse 12. This is prophetic of Jesus. Then speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man, whose name is the branch. Is that in capital? The branch. From his place he shall branch out, and he shall build a temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2 says this, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. This is also prophetic of the Messiah. As a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no former comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we shall behold him. So we see that he is called the branch. We says that it says that he is a tender plant that comes out of a root out of dry ground. And then it says in Isaiah chapter 11 in verse 1, he says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. One of the pictures of Jesus is as the branch. And what does Virgo hold in her right hand? She holds a branch. It's a picture of Christ. It's a picture of Christ. In her left hand, it says that she is holding seeds of wheat. Now, one thing Jesus says in John chapter 12, and he's talking about him dying, about he is going to have to glorify God by his death. And it says in John 12, 24, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. So what do we see here? We see in one hand, the right hand, the branch. We see her in her left hand getting ready to sow some seeds of wheat. And Jesus saying about himself, I've got to be sown into the ground like seeds of wheat. For when I do, it's going to bring forth much fruit. See, there's the fertility. There's the fertility. Those are two pictures of Christ. Now, in every sign of this zodiac, there are other stars and other clusters of stars that are related to it. They're called decans. There are 36 decans in the zodiac band, and there's three in each of the signs. Virgo has three decans that is related to that. And the first one is called Kama. And it is a picture. It's depicted as a woman sitting in a chair holding a small child in her hands. Interesting. Coming out of Virgo the Virgin, the decan shows a woman sitting in a chair holding a small child. The word Kama means desired one or longed for. Now, Haggai talks about Jesus again, talks about the Messiah. Haggai 2:7, "And I will shake all nations, for they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill his temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts." It calls the Messiah the desired one, the desire of nations. That's pictured in that decan of Kama. The next decan is one that you've probably heard of, and it's Centaurus. Remember Centaurus? He is the creature that is half horse and half man. Half horse and half... He had two natures, that of a human and that of a horse. Jesus has two natures, God and man. But now, this name, Centaurus, means despised one. It's kind of interesting that here in the same message is that you have one who is the desire. Israel looked forward to seeing the Messiah. But then in the next thing, it says that he is the despised one. Isaiah chapter 53, again, messianic prophecy. Verse 3, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him." So in one hand we see the desire of nations. In the next picture we see one who is despised. Interesting. Say, Pastor, are you saying that the gospel preaches, the stars preach the gospel? I think it's very possible. I think this is interesting. You will have to decide what you believe about this. I'm not telling you that this is it. But it looks like it to me. It looks like it to me. The next decan is called Boots. B-O-O-T-E-S. Boots. And Boots is a picture of a man moving forward. He looks like he's walking. In one hand, he holds a spear, and in the other hand, he's holding a sickle. A sickle. Now, the word for boots means the coming one. So we see, what do we see? First of all, we see the desire of all nations. We see the despised one. And now we see the coming one. And all of this is associated with Virgo, the Virgin, who holds in one hand the branch and in the other hand the seeds to be sown. I want to read the final verse that we're going to read today. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 14. "And I looked and beheld a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man." Now notice, where are clouds at? They're in the sky. You know, just a side thought here. I got time to make a side thought, don't I? I'm going to take it. You know, I love my iPhone. I love my iPad. I like my HDTV. I love my Kindle. They didn't have any of those then. And I think about King David. And what was his occupation? He was a shepherd. Before he was a king, he was a shepherd. And what did he do out when he was guarding his flock by night? Can you imagine him looking up at the sky and seeing the stars and penning the words, "The heavens declare the glory of God. They speak, but they don't make a word and they don't make a sound. Do you think that maybe God used some of that stuff up there to reveal some things to him? John, the Revelator, as he was seeing this vision, isn't it interesting that they're looking up and in the clouds? Could it be that some of the pictures that they saw may be some of these things that they knew about, and it told a story? And he said, on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? It's Jesus, God in flesh, Centaurus, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. That's the one that cometh, isn't it? And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." So he who sat on the cloud thrust in the sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. So what do we see in these three decans? We see the one who was desired, the one who was despised, and then we see the one who is to come. Now, I've only shared with you about 1/12 of this story. The earth declares, the creation declares the glory of God. There is a story that God tells. And you know, and sometimes people ask the question, well, what about those who have never heard? You know what? Creation reveals the glory of God. Creation reveals the glory of God. Now, we still have a mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But the earth and creation all points us to a good God, to our God. Amen. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward. We're going to have a season of prayer for those of you who have need today. I don't know what you need today. I know I've dumped a lot of information on you. You say, I don't know if I believe that or not. That's fine. That's fine. I'm not here to try to convince you of anything other than our Creator and His creation are in sync. And I believe, personally, that it tells the story. And how can we know that what we believe is really true? Our highest authority is the Word of God. But we've seen in this series, not only the Word of God proclaims it, not only was there evidence of angelic activity that proclaimed it, but it could be possible that also all of creation proclaims it as well. And if that's true, then I need to be in right relationship with that Creator. Because I'm going to come to a place in my life that I will be without excuse if I don't. Father, thank you so much for your love. Lord, as we look at this message today, we don't see just judgment. We see grace and love and provision. A God who wants to be in relationship with us. God, I pray today that you would reach out to your people. That you would reach out and touch every person here today and draw them unto you. Minister to their needs today, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. If you have need of anything today, I don't care what it is, come. They'll pray with you.